Welcome to the Diabetes Canada Healthcare Huddle, a podcast that invites healthcare professionals to listen in on the discussion as we explore a diabetes-related topic. Each episode, we will present a case study, then have a conversation with an expert about the clinical challenge. Finally, we will revisit the case and see how we can apply our new knowledge and tools. My name is Dr. Sarah Stafford. I'm an endocrinologist in Surrey, BC.
Today, we are joined by Lillian Yin for a very important conversation about household food insecurity. Lillian was born in Taiwan and raised on the unceded lands of the Coast Salish people, and she is a first-generation immigrant and actively reconnecting with her ancestral roots in East Asia. She received her dietetics training at McGill University over a decade ago and was inspired by a family that celebrated food and a grandfather who struggled with diabetes management and a lack of culturally relevant care. Lillian is a certified diabetes educator and has been volunteering with Diabetes Canada for many years, including co-chairing the local professional chapter between 2020 and 2022. She's done quite a lot of work with Diabetes Canada and continues to be very active in the area of household food insecurity with the Network of Dietitians of Canada, and is pursuing a master's degree in public health at Johns Hopkins to further work in this area. Welcome, Lillian.
Hi, Sarah. Pleasure to meet you and connect with you here.
Thank you so much. Lillian, can you help us by first understanding what is household food insecurity?
Thanks for that question, Sarah. Household food insecurity, food security, and food insecurity are all big terms that have been used interchangeably through literature, through conversations, and so it really is helpful for us to spend some time unpacking definitions, because when we understand the term and have a common understanding of what that is, it frames our understanding of what potential solutions might come from that. When we refer to household food insecurity, we're referring specifically to the inability of a household to access food due to financial constraints. So that really is tightly tied to income. And we see household food insecurity, households that experience food insecurity, also experiencing other socioeconomic inequities and systemic discrimination. That might include racism that impacts access to employment, as well as housing, that all is interconnected with cost of living and affordability.
So I think these are incredibly important issues, and they really do affect all aspects of health and diabetes care. Can you speak a little bit more about the impact of household food insecurity on health and diabetes management and how these factors might interplay?
Yeah, certainly. With households that experience food insecurity, the financial constraints and the rising cost of living that we're seeing amongst folks in Canada and across the world, it is making it more challenging for households and individuals to meet basic necessities required for life. That includes stable housing, adequate food, and medication. And for folks living with diabetes, impacts can be seen in several areas, from glycemic control. It's difficult to afford the foods that you would know to be recommended for managing diabetes. And there are much fewer choices. When it comes to fresh fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and proteins, they're often more costly than their more processed counterparts, leading to a more reliance on affordable, energy-dense foods that are higher in fat, sugars, and refined carbohydrates. And that just ultimately makes it more challenging for optimal glycemic control. There's also health implications, complications that arise. We see poor glycemic control and challenges with regulating intake of food throughout a day being associated with an increased risk of diabetes-related complications, such as cardiovascular disease, kidney damage, neuropathy, retinopathy. But there's also a huge mental health impact. Food insecurity and poverty are linked to increased levels of stress, anxiety, depression, and can further complicate diabetes management and overall well-being. And then there's the actual access to healthcare. Barriers to medication, compounded on challenges with affording food and meeting other basic necessities. Testing supplies can be expensive, and people may be more prone to not follow up because they're not able to meet the recommendations provided by their healthcare provider.
So I think you raise a number of very important points, and we'll just unpack that a little bit. So just starting with the food aspect, and I think this comes up often in clinic, we'll be talking to people about healthy food choices, and sometimes they'll identify that those healthy food choices are more expensive. And that, you know, the things that are easier and cheaper are things that are, we don't recommend so much for diabetes, but they're more accessible when you have food insecurity. So I think this is a really challenging thing. And we interact with the same problem with pharmacotherapy when we're asking patients to take medications that have higher cost or even testing supplies. So certainly, you know, all of these factors are very connected. Are people with food insecurity also at higher risk for even getting diabetes to begin with?
Yes, there's been lots of great work done across the country, but looking at the risk of poverty and other chronic conditions, and we see poverty as a risk factor for not only diabetes, but other chronic diseases as well, and mental health impacts, cardiovascular disease, cancer risk, and toxic stress. So certainly for folks who are living with financial constraints, it is recommended to screen for diabetes earlier on.
Perfect. So we should identify that as one of the risk factors for diabetes. You know, I think this is a common problem, but probably is not a common conversation. So I suspect that there are people that we're seeing who are struggling with food insecurity, but we don't know. How can we open that conversation? How can we make it a safe space for this conversation, and what can we do to identify food insecurity?
Mm-hmm. It is a loaded conversation to have, and living in poverty or with financial constraints is not necessarily something that people feel comfortable to openly share, let alone with a healthcare provider where there might be some kind of a power dynamic at play. And so as a healthcare provider, it is really important for us to create a space that feels safe for the individual we're speaking to try to reduce stigma as much as possible. And that involves checking in with our own biases and practicing in compassionate and trauma-informed ways and being intentional with our language and how we might approach screening. If we are asking certain people the question of challenges living with food financial constraints, then that might be a reflection of our making assumptions, whereas screening tools should be universal because we don't know who walks through the door, how they might dress, what kind of phone they have, the way they speak, the way they present themselves. They're not always great indicators of what someone's lived experience is like. And so one way to remove that stigma and bias is to provide universal screening. And just being very gentle, asking for permission to have a conversation about this and providing rationale as to why this might be a helpful conversation to have. We did a literature review recently and looked at what are some of the barriers that healthcare providers might perceive to be able to do poverty screening in a clinical appointment. And what came up in the literature is fear of not being able to address things if it does screen positive. So as healthcare providers, it's important for us to know where we can direct clients if there is a positive screen. But also in the client's perspective, there's worries about being reprimanded for some reason or feeling of shame because of what they're experiencing. And so that language really, really matters.
So in the webinar that you'll be recording and will be available to our listeners, you identify a screening question that's pretty easy to work with. It says, do you ever have difficulty making ends meet at the end of the month? And that seems like a really approachable way to ask this question. But what do we do if they say yes? So are there any programs that we can identify or places we could direct people if they identify food insecurity as an issue?
Yeah, the screening tool is very simple. It's validated for sensitivity and specificity for folks living below the poverty line, but it really is intended to be encompassed around some relationship building and trust building with your client in that conversation. If someone does screen positive, their intention here is to identify some income-related resources that might be available to your client, what they might be eligible for. For example, if they have children, ensuring that they are filing their taxes regularly so that they qualify for things like the Canadian Child Benefit. Or if they're an older adult, we have the Old Age Security. And these are federal programs, but there are also provincial programs. And so it's important for us to know what might be relevant for our jurisdiction. The Center for Effective Practice has the screening tool available as an easy to use infographic for healthcare providers intended for primary care. However, it can be very applicable in other clinic settings such as diabetes centers, et cetera. And on their website, you can filter based on your province or territory that you're in. And it includes a list of resources that might be available that kind of get at those determinants of health and the income piece. So hopefully that can be a helpful resource. And in British Columbia, there is also another resource for clients that are living with, that are currently pregnant or recently had a child, a newborn. It's called Financial Help for Pregnancy. And that's a provincial resource, even though it's developed by Vancouver Coastal Health Authority.
Perfect. So I think it sounds like we really need to be dialed into the resources available within our community. And hopefully we can, you know, gather a list of things that we can individualize so that we can offer some help and solutions to people. But the first step really seems to be making a safe space for this conversation so that we can have kind of an ongoing dialogue with our patients and identify when food insecurity is an issue.
Certainly. And I think that ongoing dialogue is so important because experiences of household food insecurity are not necessarily static. For example, when someone is going from having a stable paid job to taking some time off because of certain life events, such as becoming a parent or due to sick leave or perhaps moving into retirement, income shifts, economy changes. And so people's household food insecurity severity can also be across a gradient.
Perfect. And Lillian, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for presenting the webinar as well that will be available on the Diabetes Canada website, which if you want more information, you should be able to access online.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Please help us improve our future podcasts by filling out the survey in the show notes. Thanks for joining us today. If you have questions about the episode or about becoming a member of the Diabetes Canada professional section, please email professional.membership@diabetes.ca. Special thanks to Adam Humphreys for providing the music for today's podcast.